Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Well, good morning to you. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, and I am Gernard Reed. We greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's message, how to get a blessing. Taken from the scripture, turn with me, if you will, to Job, the 42nd chapter and verse 10. Job 42:10. Turn with me, if you will. Again, we greet you. We give you a phone number. Should you want to talk about this message, ask for prayer or some other concern, 804-313-7853. Again, it's 804-313-7853. You can reach us on Facebook at hashtag Jeremiah Speak. Facebook hashtag Jeremiah Speak. If you will turn with me to Job 42:10, there's this one verse. Reading from the New King James Version, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. This is the word of God for the people of God. Even so saith the Spirit, let us pray. All wise, eternal God, and our righteous King, Lord, we thank you for this day, hour, and opportunity to teach your word, to preach your word, to magnify the name of the Lord. Lord, we come asking that as preaching time that we can block out, that we can focus only on the word of God, that all things will come together for the good. And we pray, Father, that when your word goes out, that it will not return into you void, but will accomplish whatever it is said. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, today's message is how to get a blessing. Now, the book of Job is generally regarded as the oldest book in the Bible. It was written by an unknown author and organized as wisdom literature in the Bible. Out of 42 chapters in Job, there are only 5 verses of introduction. They jump right into it. Job was a perfect and an upright man, among the richest in all of the East. Job had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 3,500 yokes of oxen. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, all of whom had their own houses and wealth, and they all got along. Isn't it a blessing when your family all gets along and loves to celebrate with one another? In fact, they fellowshiped daily in each other's houses. Job prayed and made sacrifices to God daily. Job also made sacrifices on behalf of each of his children, just in case one of them had sinned in their heart and perhaps even cursed God. My friends, that's how to get a blessing. That really is our focus today. That's how to get a blessing. How to get a blessing is to pray for somebody else. If we're all in the kingdom together, then we literally and legitimately enjoy one another's blessing. If you get blessed, I get excited about you being blessed. We enjoy one another's blessing. Therefore, if you get blessed, I enjoy it. Then if I want to enjoy a blessing, all I have to do is bless you, and that blesses me. So as we move into this text today, we see in the background the story of Job. Perhaps you remember the story of Job. It begins with a dialogue between God and Satan. God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He is a perfect and an upright man. And Satan says to God, he's only perfect and upright because you've blessed him so. Yes, he has great possessions, and yes, he has a great family, but only because you keep blessing him. Satan says, if you put forth your hand and touch what he has, he'll curse you to your face. And so then we have the story where a servant comes to Job. So God says to Satan, he says, well, go ahead. I'll allow you to put forth, as you say, touch what he has, and see if Job is not a perfect and an upright man. So Satan goes to work. Comes a day when a servant comes to Job and says to Job, all of your donkeys and your camels have been carried off by marauders. They've been stolen and carried off. And I alone am here to tell you this. Before Job could get himself together good, another servant comes and says, all of your sheep were killed in a hailstorm. Lord have mercy. And only I alone am left to tell you this. And then Job is trying to accept what has happened. Another servant comes. He says, Job, all of your sons and daughters were gathered together, and the roof collapsed and killed every one of your children. In fact, I alone am the only one left to tell you this. Job went through some changes with this, but he didn't sin. The Bible says Job spoke, naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord hath given, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Satan is proved wrong here because Job did not sin. He attacked all of his possessions and his family, killed his family. Job lost all of his great possessions, yet Job did not sin or blame God. Job did not know that there was a devil. He thought that for some reason God had done this to him. And so Satan goes back before God, having been proven wrong, and he says to God, if you let me touch his body, God says, well, go. See, is my servant Job not faithful to the end? So then Job broke out in sores and boils from head to toe. All kinds of boils and sores, and took a piece of pottery and scraped the sores. Job sat there in sackcloth and ashes, mourning all of this misery that he was going through. Job's own wife came to Job, and she said, Job, why don't you count your losses, curse God, and die? Job looked at his wife and did not sin. And he said to his wife, you sound like one of the foolish women. Even in all of that, he didn't even call his wife foolish. He said, you are sounding and acting like someone who's foolish. Job was miserable, but he did not sin. Satan was defeated. He was an afterthought and never again mentioned in the book of Job. But then as Job sits in his misery, he is visited by three call friends. This is also arranged by the devil that in our times of grief, the devil will send us somebody. That when we are vulnerable, the devil will send us, and he'll speak through people that are close to us, people that we trust and have a great history with. The devil will use them too. So the first is Eliphaz the Temanite. And then he's followed by Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite. They came to support, allegedly, to console and support their friend in need. So they sat with Job 7 days and 7 nights without saying a word. They tore the clothes, put dust on their heads. Then Job began to speak and cursed the very day he was born. So they began to respond with long speeches. They began to bring worldly reasoning to a spiritual situation. Perhaps the only thing wrong with their advice was that it didn't come from God. The only thing wrong, we are reminded in the book of Joshua, that the only thing wrong with Achan taking some silver in Jericho was that God had said not to do that. The only thing wrong with Eve eating the fruit was that God said not to do that. The only thing wrong with Lot's wife looking back was that God said not to do that. So the only thing wrong with their advice is that we advise not to do that. These friends were convinced that Job had sinned horribly and God was punishing him, and they said so. Let me say this again, is that when a calamity happens, unless God specifically speaks to us and gives us a prophetic word, we are not to run to that person and tell them what they did wrong and that God is getting even with them and all of these things. That is not the way the kingdom works. So we get to Eliphaz the Temanite. Eliphaz the Temanite He played the good guy. So after hearing Job speak, Eliphaz played the good guy. And he said, Job, I know you're going through something, but I tell you what, Job, you and I, we go way back. You can tell me what's going on. You can tell me what you did that would make God punish you like this. You see, none of them realized that there was a devil. None of them realized that God had not put these things on Job. And they were trying to reason with worldly reason. And so he said to Job, we go way back. You can tell me. I'm your friend. What did you do to God that would make him curse you like this? And then Bildad the Shuhite comes. Bildad the Shuhite, he began by being nice to Job, but immediately turned into the bad guy and broke bad and tried to force a confession out of Job. Job, you know you did it. Why don't you just tell us that thing that you did? Job did not respond to that. He responded with righteousness, if you will. And then along came Zophar, the Naamathite. The Naamathite said to Job, see, Naamathite spoke last. He was the youngest of the three so-called friends. And the Naamathite was loud and arrogant, and he lacked compassion. He was ruthlessly judgmental, and he accused Job of talking too much. He said, Job, these long speeches are about nothing, and it's a pack of lies. He called Job a liar to his face, and he said, Job, you're calling yourself pure and clean, and you, because you are a big liar, and you're calling yourself pure and clean before us, you haven't even gotten what you really deserve. You lost everything, but God could do you a lot worse than that because of your righteousness that you're pretending to have. So Job's friends had unknowingly been influenced by the wicked one to further trouble Job. Friends meant well, but didn't know what they were talking about. Well, I wish I had a witness today that knows that sometimes our friends, our so-called friends even, they mean well, but sometimes they don't know what they're talking about. There are folk in the church that want to give you a word of advice. There are folk in the church that want to give you a prescription for success and have no idea what they're talking about. Sometimes our friends want to help us spiritually with worldly advice. You're going through something, and they might say to you, it's okay to take a drink right now. You're going to need something to help you get through this night. That may not be of God. Sometimes they may say to you that anything that the doctor gave you, that's why the doctor is a doctor. That's why he prescribed it. Go ahead and do that. I don't care about, you know, I know you prayed on it and everything, but you need to do whatever the doctor told you to do. That may not be God's plan. We have friends that will say to us that fasting is killing you. That fasting is too much for you. God wants you to eat. Come on and take a bite of food. We got to be careful with our friends. And then there are those friends that say, I saw this on television. Oprah said, Dr. Phil said, Judge Judy said, that may not be God's plan. When I have a spiritual issue, I need someone to share what the Lord has for me. I don't need Oprah. I don't need Dr. Phil, and I certainly don't need Judge Judy. I need to know what is the Lord's prescription. So in the end, God told Eliphaz, when we move now to the end of the book, the 42nd chapter, God told Eliphaz that, he said, you and your friends have not spoken right about Job. Whereas the friends set out to comfort Job, they served only to increase Job's misery. In this story, we know what Job didn't know. We know that it was Satan who attacked Job and his family. I suspect it was also Satan who influenced Job's friends to come and increase his misery. They then began to speak for God and to condemn Job. They had unwittingly listened to the lies of the devil. Do your well-intentioned friends ever bring you the lies of the devil? People say, well, I got this from a pastor in Washington, D.C., and he said. I often hear folks say that, you know, I listen to them and they say, well, you know, some people are not capable of giving a tithe. Those are lies that they got from somewhere that came from the devil. They'll tell you that you're not cut out for that. God is going to use you for something else. You're trying to work your gift, and then somebody says, you're not cut out for that. That's not your calling. They don't have a word from the God. They're reasoning with worldly reasoning. Mean well, well-intentioned friends, but bringing you the direct lies of the devil. Be careful how you allow people to callously address an issue which you have petitioned God about. If they haven't been praying with you, be leery of their prescription. In fact, we say some things to God that only God knows about us in our secret closet. When other folk come with the opposite of that, we need to be leery of them. Back to the text now. Job was suffering. His three so-called friends visited and chastised him for sins which he did not commit and for not being man enough to admit sins that he did not commit. All of that worked fitly into Satan's plan to increase Job's misery. 42, verses 7 and 8, God scolded Eliphaz. He said, "You and your two friends did not speak right concerning God and Job." God says that Job did speak right. God tells Eliphaz to gather seven rams, take them to Job, offer them as a sacrifice for your sins, and Job will pray for you. So the one that you have offended is actually going to pray for you. In fact, I haven't instructed him that, but I know Job so well that I know Job will pray for his friends even when his friends have increased his misery. Verse 10 says, "And the Lord restored Job when he prayed for his friends." Here God both commanded and responded to intercessory prayer. Job's friends were misguided and wrong, but God commanded Job to intercede for them. If our friends or our acquaintances, brothers or sisters in Christ, are misguided, we still need to intercede for them. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friend. What if our restoration or prosperity was contingent upon praying for somebody else? Maybe we should pray for the stockbroker who gave us the bad tip, the car salesman who sold us the lemon, the supervisor who gave us bad advice, the coworker who falsely accused us, the family member who gave us a bad number. Maybe we should pray for those folk that caused us to get in a bad situation. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Sometimes we have to look outside of our house and pray. Sometimes we have to feel somebody else's pain to receive our own blessing. Our growth and restoration may be impacted by what we do for someone else. If prayer works for us, then we should pray for others. God has blessed us to be a blessing to someone else. It's time that we make a list and begin to pray for other people on a regular basis. Finally, as I prepare to close, I believe I can hear God saying, sometimes in praying for other folk, you also have to pray for the Naamathite. Remember, Job's friend Zophar was the last of the three to address Job. He was obnoxious, arrogant, and pretended to speak for God. He spoke like he knew what he was. He declared that Job was being punished for some terrible secret sin. He spoke without pity and with no respect for mercy. Zophar the Naamathite was a loudmouth and a great talker in the crowd. He called Job a liar and told him that he deserved more punishment than what he got for what he had done. Zophar the Naamathite is an unknown character from an unknown land who had no idea of what he was talking about. Don't we know some Naamathites in our lives? Some folk that have a big mouth talking all the time and saying nothing. Some folk that are always accusing somebody else of something like they even know more than God. Some folks that act just like they speak for God when they haven't petitioned the Lord. They don't have a spiritual gift. They just around giving their two cents, and so many people are listening to it. But in the end, they are not talking right. In the end, God said, "You are not talking right." This word is saying to us, you even have to pray for the Naamathite. That so-called friend who causes you so much grief, you still have to pray for him. You know he carried a tail on you, but you still have to pray for him. Coming out of her mouth with lie after lie, pray for the Naamathite. Lying on the scriptures, lying on the preacher, lying, you still got to pray for the Naamathite. All up in your face every day, but you still got to pray for the Naamathite. My brothers and my sisters, this is how you get a blessing, by blessing someone else, praying for someone else. Treat others as you wish to be treated. Amen. This is how you get a blessing. If you want a blessing, be a blessing to someone else. I'm going to show you how to instantly get a blessing anytime you want. Anytime you feel like I need a blessing today, I just need something to get me started, get me going, just a little blessing, Lord. I need a blessing today, Lord. How do I get a blessing? I'm going to tell you how to get a blessing. You get a blessing if you're saved, sanctified, and set free. You get a blessing if you're a kingdom citizen simply by blessing somebody else. If you are a kingdom citizen, then you joy in others' joys. If my brother finds $10, he is happy. Well, that makes me happy because he just got blessed. Well, if I give my brother $10, then he is happy, and that makes me happy because he just got blessed. That's how blessings work. If you want a blessing, bless somebody else. Instantaneously, if you bless another kingdom citizen, you automatically get a blessing yourself. It takes some spiritual maturity to reach that level. I'm so glad I'm on that level now. I'm so glad that I cannot be jealous when somebody else gets blessed. I'm glad that now I'm even at the point where when I have prayed for something and I see somebody else get it, I'm happy for them because I know my blessing is on the way. I know it is achievable because I see it in my brother or my sister. I get excited when they get excited. I get excited at other folks' testimony. I feel like it was mine. I go and tell other people's testimony, other people's story, feeling like it just happened to me. I'm excited about the blessings of the Lord on the citizens of the kingdom. And one citizen ought to be excited about another citizen of the kingdom, just like it happened to them. I'm excited when you get blessed. And therefore, I remember that if I need some blessing and some excitement, all I got to do is bless you. All I got to do is bless somebody else, and then I get a blessing. Oh, I thank God for the blessing that God delivers. I thank God for the blessing system that God has set up. I thank God that all I have to do to get a blessing is to bless somebody else. Once you reach that level, you can get a blessing anytime you want it. And I tell you what, there's no better way to start a day off than being blessed. There's no better way to start a day off than being blessed. So when we look at, hey, when I go out this morning, I'm going to be on fire for the Lord. I'm going to bless the first person I see, the first kingdom citizen I connect with. I'm going to give them a blessing. I might speak into their life. I might put something in their hand. I might buy their coffee for them. I might do a little something, just the kindest gesture, to see that big old smile pop up on their face. And when that big old smile pops up on their face, big old smile pops up on my face. And if I can do it over little things like a cup of coffee or a great big hello and a hug early in the morning, then I can do it over the larger things like praying for them when they get sick. I can do it on the larger things like joining them in prayer when they're going through. Because if I want a blessing, all I have to do is bless somebody else. This is the word of God for the people of God. The Bible said when Job prayed for his friends, God gave him everything back. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. This is the word of God. For the people of God, even so, saith the Spirit. We certainly offer salvation to anyone who will receive, anyone who will call us, go to someone whom you know is saved, and ask them to lead you to salvation. There is a plan of salvation. The Bible tells us that the only way to go back to God, once separated from him, the only way we can get back to God is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our go-between, our mediator, our intercessor. We have to go through Jesus. If that's your desire today, please get in touch with somebody that you know that knows Jesus, be it a preacher, a prophet, a pastor, whoever. Or you can call 804-313-7853. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. May God bless every one of you.
Good morning. Good morning. You are listening to the 5-4 Ministry broadcast. You're listening to Jeff Majors, Song 23. Let us sit back and abase ourselves and get ready to go into the inner courts. God bless you. Let us look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And it is the Lord's Prayer. Let us get ready to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. As it is in heaven, give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. God bless you today. You're listening to the 5-4 Ministry broadcast. And this is our disclaimer that as we play the songs of Zion for those who have made music to the Lord. We love the Lord with all our heart because he reigns. We thank God for the musicians. We thank God for all of those who have decided to glorify and praise God. Truly, it helps us in our daily walk and in our living. We thank God for you for tuning in to the 5-4 Ministry broadcast. You can hear us each week on this radio station. Let us get ready and listen to Real Life TV 1, You Reign. Let us listen to a song of praise. Amen. Yes, the Lord want us to reign. the Lord want us to feel good about ourselves. I have a special message that I would like to share with you. This is Apostle Margie Mercer. God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. And for many of you, some of you have asked me, what is our mailing address? We like to share it with you at this time. It's P.O. Box 9786, Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. I'll say it again. That's Fivefold Ministries, P.O. Box 9786, Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. If you would like to call us for prayer, if you would like to discuss those things that maybe God is tugging at you about and you would just like intercession, you can call us at 410-661-4103. Again, that's 410-661-4103. I just want to say to you to be encouraged. You are God's beloved. And if God can't do it, it cannot be done. You know why? Because our God is a waymaker. Let us listen to Waymaker by Sinai. Again, let us get up and govern ourselves. Thank God for being in the land of the living. And let us just praise him and worship him because he is a waymaker. To the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, and I want to share a word with you this morning. The Lord put in my heart I have been invited to do a revival in Montego Bay, Jamaica. Again, we are going to Montego Bay, Jamaica to do a revival. And in my prayer to God, in my meditation to God, I said, God, I said, what would you like me to say to your people? I want everybody to listen because it's very, very important. I thought it was so profound that we all over the world need to hear this particular message that God is giving the people of Jamaica. You know, many a times as I have traveled, as I said before, I've been to Africa, Russia, England, invitations to Israel, India, and other places. I mention all of that because as God sends me to different places, it's an encouragement to exalt and push up the body of Christ. So this particular invitation came, and as I sought the God, as I sought my God for guidance, he said to me that people need to walk in their authority. Uh-oh, I'll say it again, that God want us to walk in our spiritual authority. I want you to get out your Bibles. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. That's Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. The title will be Walking in Spiritual Authority. It's so very important, as you know, that your God is able to do all things but fail, that he is the King of Glory. And we have to trust God at his word. So I want to say to those nations around the world that God is calling us to walk in our spiritual authority through the Holy Spirit. Don't you know that you are God's beloved? Don't you know that you are special to him? Don't you know that God can do anything but fail? He is the King of Glory. As we listen to Todd Dudley, let us sit back and just meditate just a little bit more about the King of Glory, that he is your God, and it's time for you to walk in that authority. Amen. God bless you. Let God fill you today. Come on. Yes, the King of Glory, come fill this place. Truly, that's a blessing that we need to know, that God can do anything but fail. You know why? Because God knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows every hair on your head. He's so wonderful. He loves us so. He gave his only begotten son for us. That is Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection. Don't you know that we have the power? I want to say to you that as you get up and remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, here in the United States, for most of us, the majority of us, that our Sabbath is today. And we try to gather ourselves together in fellowship so that we can encourage, exalt, and push one another to a place and in the presence of God. It's so very important, beloved, that as you move out and as you know who your God is, that you go with a smile on your face to know that your God loves you, that you are his beloved. God wants us to realize that we are so very special to him. We are important, male and female alike. We are important to him. Don't you know? Let us look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, that through the power of God, through God, his commandments, he said, let there be. Let there be. That is so powerful, to have that authority. And you too are made in his image, that he breathed life into your body and you became a living being. I want to say to you that wherever you are, wherever you cross the waters of China, for the last couple of weeks I have felt intercessory prayer for them. I don't know what's going on, but we want to encourage those that's in China to just govern yourselves and just pray that the power and the peace of God will prevail. As we also, like I said, we have did intercessions for Russia, for the people Ukraine and Kyiv, that love abideth, that love will be spread abroad to all nations of people because we are his beloved. Even those in Africa, to know that God loves you all around the world, in Israel, in England, in America, you are his beloved. So the message today is that he wants you to know that when he made you in his image, I'll say it again, that you are made in the image of God. Look at your Bibles. Look at that inspired word, that holy word of God, that it says that God made man in his image. You know why? Because we are his beloved. He has made us in his likeness and his ability to stand tall. We are his reflection. You know, I like to praise God in different type of music arrangements. As I said before, I don't have ownership to the music. I like to promote the artists. And I like to encourage those to buy those CDs. You know why? Because God has blessed people to go into the inner courts and to reverence him, to get closer. You can get closer today. You can just believe on his word and to hear that message that he had for you. Please listen, because God has given this to me to take to another nation. But he is so kind and so nice that he want to have it spread abroad. Walk in your authority in God, because he knows your name. Amen. Amen.
He knows my name.
You're listening to Tasha Cobb Linnett. You know my name. God knows your name. I want to encourage you to listen to our show that's coming up this Sunday. I have invited my godfather to come on the air. I want to encourage all the nations of the world to tell family, tell friends over all over this world that there's a man of God that God has chosen among us, and God has many that walk in the authority of God. His name is Dr. Anthony T. Mays, and I want to just give a little background story before he come on next week. He will be on our show for Father's Day. Again, we will have Dr. Anthony T. Mays. I was so surprised when I met this man. He's very humble. I met him at a friend of mine's church. And different ones was coming in to hear the message that the young man wanted to speak. And he came in like a little soldier, a little nice man. And he sat on the front row, but he was invited to come to the pulpit. And he said it wasn't necessary because he could stand on the floor. I thought it was so humble that the preacher himself was not trying to take his rightful seat in the pulpit, but he just wanted to be on the level of the people to speak to them. And one of the things that he said that is so profound that ties in with our message today, that he was trying to encourage the church to walk in their authority, to know that, yes, we are made in the image of God, that we have the ability to stand tall. Don't you know we God's reflection? That not only do we have the power to rule earth, that we can move out in the spiritual realm and call on the power of His Holy Spirit that created time Himself, but we can call on the angels of God. I never will forget that when I came into church, I wanted to see everything, and I heard that he believed in miracles, signs, and wonders. So I sat beside Dr. Mays, and he looked at me and smiled. I guess he knew I was getting a position because I wanted a good seat. You know how we are when we go to a restaurant, we want to be able to get served in a good seat, or we go to a movie, we want to be comfortable, or we go to a show, we want to sit up so we can see and hear. So he smiled at me, and a lady came in, and she was limping. She had a defect in her leg where one leg was longer than the other. And he said to the congregation, he looked over at the deacons, and he said, bring me a chair, please. And everybody brought a chair to the front of the pulpit. And he looked at the lady. He said, daughter, come sit in the chair. She not only did she hear the man of God, but she was obedient to the man of God. And she walked and she sat in the chair, and she humbled herself, and she was anticipating what was going to happen. And he said to me, and he said that God can do anything but fail. He told this young lady, he said, look, he said, do you want a healing in God? Do you want a miracle in God? Do you want to see the evidence of God? Do you want the power and the demonstration of God? And, of course, the young lady said, yes, I do. He said, bring another chair. He said, put both of her legs in the chair. So as the lady was sitting with her back in the chair and her legs was in the other chair, and you could clearly see that one leg was longer than the other, because she walked with a cane. And he said, in the name of Jesus, in the blood of the Lamb, by the power of the Holy Ghost, and he extended his hand. And I watched that leg grow from that lady leg, and it went all the way down and met the other leg. I'll say it again, that I saw a miracle, that I saw a lady leg grow in front of my eyes, sitting in a chair, while this man, Dr. Anthony T. May, stretched forth his hand, and both of those legs was even, and they were made whole. Good God Almighty. I always wanted, I know that God performed miracles seen and unseen. I've seen him do a lot of things in my life, and I know that it had to be God. Hey, hallelujah, for those things to turn around in my favor. But I want to see a demonstration like that. And, oh, my God, the lady got up. She put down the cane, and she walked. She did not limp, and she did not hop. And you know me. I chase after God. I chase after things of God. I'm a God chaser. That's the best way to be. I don't chase after man or people. I chase after God. I get my assignments from God. When God said go, I go. When he said stay, I stay. Good God Almighty. Whether it be through dreams or unctions that drop in my heart, or he tell me in the spiritual realm, I obey God. And I asked the young man for his phone number, and I kept in touch with him, and I met his lovely wife. And truly, he's just as humble. And I wanted to know a little bit more about him. So this is his introduction before he come on next week, because it's so much and so profound. I just want to give the microphone to him. I want to speak to those all over the world. If you want to hear and see a miracle, if you want to feel it through the airwaves, this is your chance. I thank God for him, because I asked him, who was he? And he told me first that he is a graduate of Howard. He worked at Howard University as one of the trustees. He was a pilot in the armed forces, and now he goes all over the world to spread the good news of Jesus through radio, through TV, whatever avenue has opened up. And, of course, I latched on to the hem of his garment. I said, I want to get closer to Jesus. And I want to say to you today, friends, I don't know why the radio is off base today, but at least I got that in to tell you that we have a person that's coming over next week who is going to reverence and praise God and to pronounce miracles, Dr. Anthony T. Mays. He is my godfather. He is my godfather, and he will be on our show. I don't know, like I said today, we seem to be having a little engineering problems. We usually be on for an hour and a half, but for some reason we off today. Of course, when you deal with technology, with computers, internet, and all those different satellite dishes, sometimes the time may be thrown off. So if our show is cut, know that you not only heard the preach word of God to be a friend to somebody, if you want to get a blessing from God and get the authority of God, you have to walk in love and kindness and as a servant of the Most High God. So we also heard that God knows your name, that you are made in his image. I'm going to keep teaching and preaching the gospel today. I don't know if my time will be cut, but for some reason our air time is off on the radio. But we bind up the hand of the adversary. We know that you do not want me to put this program on today, that God do perform miracles. I have witnessed with my own eyes, and I have sat beside the person that he's used. He will and shall be on this radio station. I bind you up, Satan. I bind you up, all those nymphs and imps of hell who's trying to interfere with this broadcast. God's word will go forth with or without me. It will go through the internet, Facebook, YouTube. You can't stop this gospel because it says that all nations will hear the gospel preached before he crack open the sky. So God bless you. I don't know if the program will be cut, but do listen to us again. Like I said, next week, this is the Fivefold Ministry. I don't know why we're having difficulty today, but I'm going to go all the way in to know that God is still able and that we love him. We love him with all our heart, with all our soul. And if God can't do it, it can't be done. You know why? Because we are never lost in giving praises and worship to God. Maybe this program might be lost. Maybe it will be cut today. I don't know why. But we're going to go ahead and reverence God anyhow. Amen. Let us listen to C.C. Winans and Never Lost. Amen. Beloved, like I said, we're having a little technical difficulty. I don't know why we're not on the air right now. We may or may not be, but in any event, I'm going to keep praising God. You know, you have to know that God can do anything. You know, when we fall down, as Donnie McClurkin said, we can get up. So regardless how the station or whatever may have happened today, we never fail because Jesus can do all things but fail. Let us praise God a little bit more. Amen.
We get back up again. We fall down sometimes, but we get back up again. Just to do that, rise back up again. No matter how far you fall, you can get back up again. He's waiting on you. Get back up again.
Yes, beloved, we fall down, but we can get back up. As I said today, you have to know that God loves you, that he dwells among us, and that he can do anything but fail. You know, that's one of the things that God told me to tell the people of Jamaica when I do this revival, that God wants them to walk in their spiritual authority. God wants you to do the same. You are made in his image. Do you know how powerful that is? You as a parent, when you have a child, you recognize the nose, the ears, the face, the features, even the complexion of the mother and the father. You carry that DNA, the cells that you receive from your mother and your father. Don't you know you carry dad's DNA? Don't you know that you have spiritual authority over heaven as well as earth? That you can call on the angels and Michael and Gabriel to come and sup with you? That you could be in a stormy place and God can make it dry? Hallelujah. That you yourself have authority that when you pray and go into the inner court, that God can hear you. God is so powerful. You know, I never will forget, and I have someone that can even give a testimony, that the doctor said they was monitoring them for a heart attack. They had pacemakers, they had some type of sleep machines, and they had heart murmurs. But my God told me to just believe by faith and say to that mountain, be thou removed. And, you know, I depended on the Holy Ghost, and I asked God to use me as a vessel. And God had me to lay hands on that young man, and I laid hands on his heart. And when he went to the doctor said that the heart was 100%. It was in a cavity. It was in the right position that it should be. It was lined up in his chest accordingly. And there was no heart attack, and he was spared from death. You too, beloved, have that same authority and that same power. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be a reverend or ordained minister. All you have to do is have a grain of faith of a mustard seed. That's what Dr. Anthony Mays did. He told the young lady to sit in the chair, put her legs up on the chair, and he stretched forth his hand, and he commanded healing to come forth in the power of the Holy Ghost and the blood of the Lamb in Jesus' name, and it was done, and it was so. How many times, I'm sure, that your grandmothers or that the elders have prayed for you when you were sick and death left out your body. How many times as you go through life and ups and downs, and there were situations that if it wasn't for the grace of God that you may not have been here today. It is only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's only through the blood of the Lamb. So I want to say to you to walk in your authority. As you look at Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, and also look at Colossians in verses 1 through 16. It says here that we will have the ability to rule over. That means to rule over, have absolute authority. You know, when you think of a farmer, how they can put seed in the ground and to water it and to tend that ground, don't you see that the fruits grow up? Can't you see that even when we put the herbs and look at the doctors and mix them all together, that they are medicines that help us and to feel better and to heal our bodies? God has supplied all our needs from the heavens, from the earth, that we have all the minerals and herbs and everything that we need to walk upright before him and to be grateful. He has given you complete authority. We have the ability through prayer and to speak those things that not as though they are, and it shall be. I want to encourage you today. I want you to encourage you to speak over life of your family. Speak over your job. Speak over your responsibility. Speak over with full authority and power that God has given you to know that your God can do anything but fail. And I want to say to you that God is here, that he's in the midst of us, and that we have to know that he is our God. Know that he loves you. You know, get away from all this, you white or you black or you're a foreigner or you're not born in this country or that. Show love. Because if we want eternal life, he said that we are to treat our neighbors as ourselves. We're supposed to love our neighbors. How can we dwell in the house of the Lord if we have malice or hate in our heart, or we have a problem with nationalities or denominations or color or gender? God is not that kind of God. God loves us all. You know, we all bleed red blood. And, you know, regardless of the makeup of a man, of the nation, of the man, that God shows all of us. He has no respect of person. That means that you, too, have the authority by a grain of faith of a mustard seed, that you can take charge and to know that the God that you serve can restore you today, can bless you, to even keep you from natural death, that you can have a spiritual life of eternity with him. God is sending restoration, but only through you walking through that Holy Spirit. We want that Holy Spirit to come sup with us. We want God to be with us and to know that our God is here. We know that God is listening to us. As we listen to Karen Clark share, God is here, won't you open up your hearts and say, God, I want to walk in spiritual authority. I heard it today, and I want to be able to take on the full armor of God. I want to take up my shield and my sword of your righteousness and of your word, and I want to rule not only my life but those around me in a positive way according to your will, that it will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God bless you. Let us praise him some more. Amen.
Oh,
Yes, God is here with us. God said where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. God is in the midst of us today. We love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our being. And we want to say, Heavenly Father, as you sit high and you look low, we want to thank you for this spiritual authority. We want to thank you, God, because even in the very beginning of time that you thought of us, that you put everything in its proper place. You put the moon up, God, so we could have light by day that would govern our season, and you had the sun to shine, to give us our warmth and our nourishments that we need. Oh, God, if we had 1,000 tongues, we couldn't glorify you enough just to say how grateful that we are, that we are thankful for all the things that you have done. You've provided the water for us that man can drink. You have provided the sea for us, Father, that we have food for our table and the fowls, the fly in the air. That, God, you have took care of us, that there is nothing that we stand in need of. From clothes on up, from food to eat, even from medicines for our souls. Oh, hallelujah. Daddy, you're a wonderful Father. You're great I Am. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. We love you, Dad. We want to flow in your Holy Spirit. We want to feel more of you. We want to go into the inner court behind the veil. Hey, hallelujah. You know why? Because, God, we want your presence. We can't make it on this earth without you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus. We thank you for that Holy Spirit. We thank you for the angels of Michael and Gabriel. We thank you for the northwest, south, and east winds. We thank you for the power that you have given us on the inside. But, Father, we want to elevate ourselves today and go into the inner courts and behind the veil just to glorify you a little bit more. Father, thank you so much, Father. As we take our rightful place, our rightful seat, we want to say to all the evil in this earth, God, that we have authority and commanded, Father, that it would not be so. Father, send peace to all the nations of this world. Father, as we travel on the plains, God, help us, God, that as we have traveling mercy so we can get to our destination to see family and friends and do the things that we are commissioned to do. Oh, Father, bind up the hands of the adversary before we even leave, and even myself before I go to Jamaica. Oh, God, let me have full authority and rulership that I can say to the darkness, to evil, oh, that you're bound up in the name of Jesus by the blood. As we touch and agree and pray one ye for one another, I pray for people's souls today. I pray that they get saved today. I pray, Father, that nothing that will fall upon them, Father, that will pull them back, but help them to go forward. Oh, God, as we go in through that great commission, help us to be the disciples that you want us to be, that we can speak love and show fellowship and show love and show brotherhood one to another. Help us not to always focus on male and female and denominations and race of people, but just love from the heart unconditionally. You said, Father, that what greater love than Jesus as he laid his life down for us. Help us to understand what unconditional mean, God, that it's not because of this or that, but it's just because you are God, all God, by yourself. So, Father, as we glorify you, as we come to a close, I don't know if the show is still on the air, But I'm going into the inner court because I want to still flow with you. I'll praise you all by myself. I ask God that if they are listening, that you will bless heart to heart to know that they're able. I speak healing over the nations, God. I speak deliverance over the nations, God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, not by my might, but by the blood of the Lamb that was shed on Calvary. Oh, God, I ask that where they're downtrodden, help them to stand. The homeless, give them shelter. Those that's being trafficked and abused, God, bring them to safety. Oh, God, those that are displaced, help them to be found. And those that don't know you, let them know the God that I serve. Father, if you can do it for me, an orphan that was left in the car, bleeding and crying out, no mother to give me milk, God. You had someone to find me right there before the animals did, and you spared my life. Oh, hallelujah. I thank you, God, for how you have carried me to this journey. Oh, Father, through the good times and bad, that you walked before me, that you held my head up and you wiped the tears from my eyes. I'm going to glorify you till I die. Oh, God, if I have to speak to the room and speak to the angels and speak just to the airwaves, God, I'm going to glorify you. Oh, God, that you get the praise. I thank you for Dr. Anthony T. Mays, how you use him for miracles. I thank you for Archbishop, how you have given her this vision for the radio program to reach all nations. I thank you for Apostle Arburn, God, how you have showed that you can use male or female to do the work of the gospel. It does not matter that you, Father, are God, God alone. Help us to flow, to go into the inner courts and to have more of you. Holy Spirit, wash us now, drench us now, engulf us now. Oh, Holy Spirit, sup with us now. You said, well, two or three are gathered you in the midst. Come in the midst of us now. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise. Amen.
And let us lift it up now. Lord, to you. Lord, to you. Let the river of my worship flow. Lord, I pray in all I do, let the river of my worship flow to you, Lord, like streams in a valley, they swell with the rain, let the songs of my heart, let them rise. Bless your name and flow to you, flow to you. Lord, let my worship flow to you. Is that your desire?
Flow to you.
Well, then lift it up with us. Flow to you.
Out today, flow with God, flow through His Holy Spirit, and take full authority in knowing who your Father is, because He loves you so much. He died for you on Calvary. He suffered for you just because He loves you. You know, it's so very important that you have to believe in God's word and who he is. You know, when I was a young lady and I was with my mom staying at the home, I called my foster mom, my mom, as I said before, I was an orphan. And she treated me as a daughter that I never had to question, that she is and will always be my mom, my mother, Clara Sidney Gillis. I thank her and I thank Sidney Edward Gillis, who gave me a home when everybody else didn't think I was worthy, when they laughed and said I was a black sheep, when they said I would mount to nothing and I wouldn't be anything. But God, you prevail. You know, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. I never tried to run up and say, look at me, look what I have achieved. All I wanted to do was just to be somebody. It's sad that, you know, a lot of children sometimes are orphans or they in foster care like myself or adopted. They just want to be accepted. Whether they black or white or male or female, everybody needs love. I just wanted love. I just wanted to feel a family. I thank God for that, because when I said before, I went to my mom and I said, how can you love a God you can't see? She said, if I lose my faith, I lose everything. She said, I want you to try him. Say, God, come into my heart. Show me yourself. Show God, show up. Show me who you are. And right there in my mama's kitchen, all alone, I heard, as I said, I'm a disclaimer, I don't have any music, but I play music of artists because it has really ushered me in. And James Cleveland was on a radio at the time and said, Lord, help me to hold out. I heard that song, and I said, God, help me to hold out. I'm being talked about, laughed at from my clothes, from not having real parents, from just being, even with my nationality and denomination. But I thank God that God came in my heart, and he saved me right there in my mother's kitchen and filled me with the power of the Holy Ghost through the evidence of speaking in tongues. I've heard them tongues before, so I say, wow, it sounds like those people in Israel, sometimes when they speak through their Judaism, sometimes you can hear the dialects of different cultures when you speak in tongues, and that's another story we'll get into another day. But I heard myself speak, and I said, God, I don't know what I'm saying, but I want to govern myself accordingly and reverence and praise you. So I sat right there in the kitchen and thanked God for salvation. You too can receive this gift of the Holy Spirit to walk in spiritual authority and to know that you have the power to call the angels from on high to help you through your salvation, to help you in your spiritual maturity, and help you to walk in the spiritual realm. You are God's beloved. Thank you for listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Again, I'm your host, Apostle Prophet Margie Mercer. Thank you so much. Each week we come on the air. Like I said, we had a little difficulty today, so I don't know if you're still with me or not, but I'm going to keep reverencing God and praising him and to fulfill my assignment, because I want him to say when he crack open the sky, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I want to say to you, well done to you to listen to us each week and to pray for the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, that we can go into the spiritual realm and to reverence God. God bless you today. Be encouraged and be blessed. Amen.